With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of The Best in the World with Richard Parr. And a lot of you have been really enjoying when we've spoken to speed skaters on this program. And of course, we're not very far away from the Winter Olympics. So we've got another amazing speed skater on this week's Best in the World with Richard Parr. He is the 10,000 meters reigning, defending speed skating Olympic champion from the 2014 Sochi Games from the Netherlands. It's Jorrit Bergsma. Yes, Jorrit Bergsma is on this week's Best in the World with Richard Parr. And we do cover one thing that we spoke to Jan Blokhuizen from episode 75 about. Jan was telling us about how Jorrit had withdrew as the team substitute for the team pursuit final at the 2014 Games, leaving them without a sub. And this week, we get Jorrit to give his side of the story. You do not want to miss that on this week's Best in the World with Richard Parr. The three-time world champion also talks about growing up on a houseboat in the north of the Netherlands. He also reveals how close he actually came to representing Kazakhstan at the 2010 Games. Yes, he nearly left the Netherlands to represent Kazakhstan. He explains exactly why there. Plus, he also talks about being married to a fellow speed skater in the four-time world champion, Heather Richardson Bergsma. It's a really fascinating chat where we learn a lot from the 10,000 meter speed skating Olympic champion, Jorrit Bergsma. That's coming up in just a moment, but I just want to remind you that we are now on Patreon. Yes, Patreon is a crowdfunding website. It gives you the opportunity to help support our show. Yes, we put this out for you for free every single week. And if you'd like to give back a little bit so we can continue to do that, please go to our crowdfunding page, and there you've got a whole different range of tiers of how you can help support our show. And even if you can just help us for as little as $1 a month, we would really appreciate it. Please go and check it out. It's patreon.com/bestintheworld. That's Patreon, patreon.com/bestintheworld. I'd really appreciate it if you could do it. All right, let's get to the interview with the Olympic champion speed skater. It's Jorrit Bergsma.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Jorrit Bergsma, Olympic champion speed skater. Welcome to the Best in the World with Richard Parr. So good to have you on the program. I think it's really good to start this program by getting an insight into how you first got interested and got your first start in speed skating, please.
Well, speed skating is a really big sport in the Netherlands, and like I grew up on a houseboat, so I was born and raised on the water, and yeah, like in here in the Netherlands, when it's cold enough for nature ice, then like everybody goes out skating and everybody is getting the skating fires, and that's how I got in contact with skating. And I started when I was a little boy and never stopped.
Wow, I've never met anyone who grew up on a houseboat. Just tell us exactly what that is and what that was like.
Yeah, my parents bought this houseboat and they even built a new one. And yeah, I got born and raised on it. And yeah, I didn't know any better. Like, I live in a little town and there's like a river going right through the town. And yeah, I grew up on that little river.
Oh, wow. Incredible. And I believe this is this Friesland?
Yeah, that's correct.
And you also speak, correct me if I'm going to say this wrong, Frisian? Is that how you would say it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm talking Frisian. I was raised Frisian.
Oh, wow. So how many people speak that language?
Like in this part of the Netherlands, so we're really in the north of the Netherlands, quite a lot of people are talking it.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so you speak English, Dutch, and Frisian. Are they similar at all?
Yeah, there's some words in Frisian that are like the same in English, and yeah, it's like a little bit in between all of those languages.
Hmm. So speed skating, as you said, was kind of always around because you had the rivers nearby. When was it that you realized that you were very good at this, that this is something that you could take to a world-class level?
Well, actually, kind of late. I think I was 7 years old when I really started to go to the oval, the oval over here, and like skate once a week and later on twice a week. And I did my races when I was younger, but I was not really... Yeah, I was nothing special yet. And when I was on the age of 16, 17, I was discovering this skating discipline called marathon skating. So it's like it's a pack sport. So you start with, like 50 people in the track, and it's like cycling. The one who finished first wins.
Mm.
So it's kind of big here in the Netherlands, and I really grew into that sport. And yeah, I could really, tell that I was good in the long distance. Like, the problem is that, like, when you are younger, you only can do like the shorter distances. And because I was, because I'm a really a distance skater, like, I never could show my power. And I discovered this marathon skating, and I really grew into that sport. And like, at one point I came at this trainer where I'm with now too, like his name is Jilad Anema, and he was a trainer from the long track speed skating, and he made me go back to the long track speed skating. And yeah, I was quite good in that too. So like when I was I think 23, I came back to the long track, and yeah, then it was showed that I was able to skate a good long track.
Mm. And you've just answered what was going to be my next question of who were some of your mentors growing up during that time. Who else had a big influence on you over those years?
Yeah, like a big power after my success is my dad, I think. Like, he's always my biggest support, and he was always my personal driver, and he made it possible for me to go everywhere, and that I was able to do the things I could do. And yeah, that's the biggest power after my success.
Mm, fantastic. Now let's have an idea now of what a typical day in your life would be. Now, when you're training, give us a sense of what your day would be like.
Well, mostly we have a bike training and something else. Like, we just have 3 weeks of, like, we call it summer ice. Like, the oval over here has like a short period of time we have ice in the oval here. And so I skated quite a lot the last 3 weeks. But the coming weeks, I'm going like they remove the ice out of the oval here and I go back to inlining. So yeah, it's like, yeah, for the coming weeks it's going to be inlining and scale, a lot of biking. So like it's like two or three trainings a day.
Because you also train with your wife, don't you?
Yes. Like after the last Olympics, she moved across the ocean and came live with me here, and she joined me in my my skating team, and so we're doing a lot of training together now.
Oh, fantastic! So is it 24/7 speed skating? Is it always talking about speed skating, or are you able to kind of not think about it at times?
Yeah, like we have other things to talk about too. Like if we're free from skating, we would like to go sailing or like go out on a motorcycle and do other stuff. So we talk a lot about speed skating, but we also have other things to talk about.
No, of course. And did you say about going out on the boat? I'm guessing that just came naturally back from your early years of living up in Friesland, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of water over here, so a lot of canals, rivers, and lakes. And when I was younger, I used to sail a lot in the summer. I also did races, so like I really like to be out on the water, and Heather is enjoying it too. My wife is really enjoying it too right now.
Fantastic. And you know, obviously the Netherlands are famous for their speed skating. You know, in the last games in Sochi, there were so many clean sweeps of medals by the Netherlands, of course, which you won as well. And we'll talk more in detail about Sochi. But I want to talk a little bit about Vancouver in 2010. And, you know, the Netherlands do have so many fantastic speed skaters. And is this story true that you were considering competing for Kazakhstan?
Yeah, that's right, actually. Like, it was like the first year I am with my current coach, and at that moment we were not really training for the long track. We were really a marathon team. And Kazakhstan, the national team of Kazakhstan, they asked us to support their team pursuit team. And yeah, like I was really new to the long track speed skating, and yeah, like you were like, yeah, let's do it. And but eventually like it didn't work out, but the year after I competed my first time for the national championships over here, and I had success right away. And I skated for the Dutch since the year after.
Fantastic. What happened with Kazakhstan? Because I'm guessing, do you have any relatives from there?
No, they, like, we were like a good marathon speeding team, and they were just looking for some good skaters who could support the team. So like we didn't have any relationship with Kazakhstan before, so it was really like out of nothing.
And so you never trained with them, you didn't get any kind of routines or any good advice that you were able to later use?
No, like that year of Vancouver, we trained a little bit with them, and we even skate the Kazakhstan championships in Russia at that time. So we trained the World Cups. Like we went for the World Cups, but we were not able to skate there. But it's a really long story.
Well, you then moved on, as you said, to competing with the Netherlands, and 4 years later, you did become an Olympic champion. From 2011, was the goal always for gold? Had you set that as the target?
I really focused on like getting the best out of myself. myself. I never like really focused on like I only want to have like a gold medal. Like I knew it was possible the year before I became for the first time world champion on the 10K, so I knew it was possible. But I really focused on like, okay, like give it your best shot and like just see what it's worth. And like I had a really good day in Sochi, and it was a it was an awesome race, and it was good for gold.
It was indeed. So I want to just talk a little bit more about goal setting. Is that something that you do regularly?
Yeah, goal setting, like my first goal every year is like getting better than I was. So I always want to improve myself. I want to set personal records. Like I want to like be better than the year before. So that's the first, first goal every year. And of course you want to win the world title. You want to skate for the world title. But yeah, the first goal is getting better, and like and then hopefully like that leads to world title.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
We've got more from Yura in just a moment, but I want to say about 99 Designs. 99 Designs is a product that I personally use, and what they do is if you need something designed, they offer it to talented freelancers all around the world, and you get to work with these designers and make iterations. And then once you've decided which design you like the most, then you work with that designer even more until you have a product that you are really, really happy with. And I've had things like logos designed in the past, but it can be anything from websites to flyers to infographics, you name it, they can cover it. And they're really, really good. So go and check them out, 99 Designs. And what would really be great is if you checked them out through our link. It's sportacino.com/99designs. So that's 99 and then designs, DESIGNS. Just in case you don't know how to spell designs, sportacino.com/99designs. Check out their service. And one of the best things about them is if you are not happy with what they provide, they have a money-back guarantee. So go and check that out. And if you do end up using their service, please let me know and tell me how you get on with it. I've used it and I was very pleased with it. So I'd love for you to be able to make the most of it as well. All right, let's return to the conversation with the best in the world, the Olympic speed skater. It is Jorrit Bergsma.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So let's talk about Sochi. It was your first Olympics. Before you even stepped onto the ice, how did you just feel being in the atmosphere of the Olympic Games?
Yeah, it was really crazy. Like, like the Olympics has so much more attention than like the normal championships, the World Cup. It's like so much media attention, so much like people are getting crazy for it. And that was really special to be part of that. Olympic thing. And I skated the year before also already in the Olympic oval, but like it was like a big construction area over there. Like it was really messy still, but with the Olympics, it was really, I think it's one of the most impressive venues ever, like in Sochi there. It was, it was really special.
Mm. You mentioned there about pressure. Do you have any routines or any tactics you use to cope with stress when you're in stressful situations? Is there anything you do?
Well, I try to have the same routine before my race. So I start warming up like an hour before and like doing a little bit the same stuff. And so I don't have any surprises. So I really try to do, skate every race like it's the Olympics. Like, so on the day I have my Olympic race, I don't do anything different.
Any superstitions at all? Is there like right foot on first, left foot on, or always carrying something, or reading something, or drinking something?
No,
it's just a a regular routine.
Just a regular routine. I don't have like a magic socks or I don't know. I just try to prepare the best, and I don't have like a magic things with me.
and what about the night before? What are you like there? Are you visualizing the race? Are you trying to forget the race? Are you like, are you nervous? How do you feel in that night before a big race?
Of course, you can feel on your body like there's a big race coming up, but I really try to calm myself, not to think too much about the race yet, because like then your adrenaline goes up already, and then you're really not able to sleep. So I really try to to keep relaxed and just keep my mind at ease and don't think too much about it yet. So I listen to music a little bit and really try to relax.
What music you're at?
Well, I'm when I'm a little stressed, I really like to listen to Norah Jones, like really like calming music.
And, oh, winding down.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Fantastic. Yeah, we have a radio station in the UK called Mellow Magic. It plays a lot of Norah Jones. So I think that would be good for you before a big race if you're ever racing in the UK. So let's talk about the 10,000 final. You were was it the penultimate pair you were racing in? And obviously, you produced a great time. How nervous were you watching the last two? Sven Kramer involved as well.
That was really, like before the race, I was able to be really relaxed, and I was telling myself like, okay, just do your best and like just see what it's going to be worth. But like, then you did your race. I was really happy after my race. I was like, okay, like he did Sven Kramer, he skated really strong. Like he had a really, really strong first part of his race. So then I was like, okay, this is going to be, I don't know about this. So it was really, I was really nervous because, there's nothing you can do anymore. Like it's now Sven Kramer in his hands, but he was not able to skate his lap times, and he was like slowing down on the end, and like with one left to go, then I finally knew like, okay, like it's mine.
I'm going to be the champion. I'm going to be the best in the world. Did that kind of feeling of winning, of becoming the Olympic champion, did that settle in immediately? Did it take a few hours, or did it even take some weeks for you to realize what you'd achieved?
It's a little bit like living a dream. You don't know if it's real. Like, you're like, you really have to tell yourself, like, you did it. Like, also the next day we had we got our medal at the Medal Plaza, and it was so unreal. But it took a while to really realize, I did it.
Amazing stuff. Now I want to talk to you about one more thing which happened at the 2014 games. Of course, you also got another medal in the 5,000 meters, but you decided to pull out of the team pursuit. I know you're a substitute in some of the heats, but you decided to pull out of the final. What was your decision behind that, Jorrit?
Yeah, there was really poor communication, and that was just like said some things that made me pull out. It was like I should have never been in that selection, and I wasn't ready, the team wasn't ready for it, and the people who were in charge for that did a really poor job, and they really kind of hurt my feelings, and long story, but I should have never been in that selection, and the guys, they did great, but I shouldn't been a part in at that time.
What do you mean you shouldn't have been a part? You shouldn't have been part of the squad, or you should have actually been starting the races? What do you mean?
There were some things going on earlier in that year. First they wanted me in the team, and then there was this meeting I couldn't come, and they kicked me out of the team, and later on they wanted me back in the team, and after all they didn't want to have me in the team. So it was a really long story. It wasn't the right spot for me to be in. I kind of got the feeling they used me, and it really came out the day before, and I was really disappointed in that. And it was a really pity. It was only a couple of days after my winning my gold medal, and that put a really big shadow on it. I really had I had a bad time after that. But
Are you saying the skaters or the rest of the support team didn't want you there?
Yeah, it was. I think it was more the people who were in charge of the team pursuit.
Okay. What's your relationship like with the other guys in the team pursuit now, and a few of the other racers in the Netherlands? Because obviously, it is an individual sport, and then every so often you've got to be on a team together with people who are normally your rivals.
It's difficult sometimes because Sven Kram, he's a big motor of the team pursuit. He's the team pursuit suits him really well, but on the other hand, he's my biggest rival on the 5 and the 10K. So it goes okay, but it's still you have to switch a button in your head, now we're gonna do this together, and with the 5 and the 10, you're really your biggest rifles. So you have to get used to that, but I think we're able to switch that button on the right moment.
So after Sochi, how long did it take for you to kind of start to compete again? Did you need a bit of time just to relax and recuperate and just not think about speed skating, or were you back pretty quickly?
Yeah, like I just finished the season. We had like two more World Cups, and yeah, I just finished the season normal. Like, of course, in March after the season, I took a good break off because it was a really long season. But I finished this season first.
Mm. So obviously, 2018, there's going to be another Winter Olympics coming soon in February in South Korea. How are you feeling? How are you looking ahead of those?
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. Like, I'm feeling fit, and I already was there last year for the World Singles, and yeah, it's a nice venue, and yeah, like it's a special year again. So I'm really, really excited for that.
What are your goals, or have you not set them yet?
Yeah, my goals is to do the best I can. I think nice things are possible over there. So, first I have to qualify, of course. The competition here in the Netherlands is really big. So first qualification is already like a big, big challenge. But I hope to do really good there.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing to myself here, Europe. But if you don't qualify, which I don't believe for a second you won't, you're not going to try the Kazakhstan team again, are you?
No, that's not going to happen again. No.
Okay, all right, we're gonna see you wearing orange in South Korea. Okay, that's good to hear. Let us get an insight into your diet. What are you typically eating, Jorrit?
Typical eating, yeah. I don't have a really special diet. I'm just eating healthy and just getting everything I need. It's not that I don't eat like cookies or pie. Like I eat those stuff too, but on the main line, I'm just taking good care of myself. So no special diet. Mm.
Who cooks the most between you and your wife?
Yeah, my wife does.
Oh, that's good, because you're being looked after another amazing Olympian as well. So it's good to hear. And that must help as well when you're with someone who is thinking and letting you think about the things you need as far as diet and probably other logistical things such as travel as well, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Like after Sochi, my wife was still training in the United States and me here, and like we had really long periods of time we couldn't see each other. So we had like periods of 4 or 5 months we didn't see each other in person, and a lot of Skyping. And yeah, now we train every day together and we train almost everywhere together, so that's really awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Well, it's been so good to talk to you today, Jorrit. Thank you so much for your time. All the best for everything which happens with you at the 2018 Winter Olympics. Just before you go, why don't you let us know where we can continue to follow your journey on social media or any website or anything else you'd like to promote, please, Jorrit?
Yeah, like you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter. It's just Jorrit Bergsma.
Perfect. Well, I'll make sure that we've got the right link to it on the description page of this podcast. Thank you so much for being on the program. Jorrit Bergsma, thank you for being the best in the world.
Thank you, Richard.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Wonderful to speak to Jorrit on this week's Best in the World with Richard Parr. We've also spoken to many other speed skaters in the past. One of my favourite interviews ever on this podcast is the one with Chad Hedrick. It's one of the shortest, but it is full of great knowledge. Go back and listen to that. You might also want to go back and listen to Jan Blokhuizen. He's also been on the show as well. So much for you to listen to on the full archive of The Best in the World with Richard Parr. It's all available at sportacino.com. It's all available at acast.com/best. And of course, it's on iTunes. iTunes is actually what I personally use. And I love subscribing. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Best in the World with Richard Barr. And I love giving ratings and reviews. So if you haven't done that for the Best in the World with Richard Barr, I would really appreciate it as well. Just one review makes a massive difference to our show. And if there is any things that you'd like to bring up, any things you'd like us to change from the format of the show, if there's any questions you'd like me to be asking more regularly, let me know. You can do that by sending me a tweet at Richard_Parr on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. All right, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week. And in fact, I'm going to tell you who's going to be on the show next week. It's going to be the UFC Super Fight Champion, one of the real innovators of the sport. Yes, it's Dan the Beast Severin. You might know him from the WWE as well. He is a fascinating person that I get to speak to, and you can listen to it on next week's Best in the World with Richard Barr. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful week. Goodbye.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Barr.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.